Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Folly of Job, as we pick up in Job chapter 15, verse 25. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
For he stretched out his hand against God and strengthened himself against the Almighty. A false accusation again against Job. He runneth upon him, that is, he is rebelling against God. He hardens his neck, he becomes stiff-necked and runs against God, pushing against him with his buckler, the thick bosses of his buckler, his shield. He just sort of sets himself his shield and he just runs into God. Because he covers his face with fatness and he maketh collops of fat on his flanks. That's quite a picturesque speech. And so the wealthy and the prosperous with their fatness and all bursting out in fatness, but yet coming against God. And he dwelleth in desolate cities and in houses which no man inhabiteth, which are ready to become heaps. That is, he becomes an outcast. He dwells in shacks out in the desert that are ready to collapse. He shall not be rich, neither shall his substance continue, neither shall he prolong the perfection thereof upon the earth. He shall not depart out of his darkness. The flame shall dry up his branches, and by the breath of God's mouth shall he go away. In other words, you get just wiped out until finally God just breathes you out of existence. By the breath of his mouth, he goes away. Let not him that is deceived trust in vanity, for vanity shall be his recompense. This bit of advice by Eliphaz is really very pertinent and good. The Bible constantly is warning us concerning deception. When God placed Eve in the garden, Satan deceived her. Jesus said of Satan, he is a liar from the beginning. And Satan has and does deceive man through the ages. Today, Satan continues to deceive people. He deceives them concerning the nature of God, concerning the Word of God, concerning the truth of God. He would cause Eve to believe that God was not fair in restricting her from that tree, that the law of God was abusive, that God was trying to keep her back from something that was desirable and advantageous to her. And she believed his lie. And Eve was deceived. And she disobeyed God. She believed that she would not die. When God gave the law, he warned against deception. He said, don't be deceived. And began to turn to other gods, thinking that you can better yourself. In the New Testament, Jesus warned against deception. In the last days, he said there would be deceivers that would come, pointing men after themselves rather than after the Lord. Paul said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Paul warns the Thessalonians that in the last days, the Antichrist, the man of sin, will come, who will deceive the world. And because people did not have the love for the truth in their hearts, God will give them over to this strong delusion that they will believe a lie rather than the truth. Deception is something that we must be constantly guarding against. And Satan is always challenging the Word of God in his deception. And he would seek to deceive you by challenging the Word of God, saying that it is not true, or it will not come to pass, or it doesn't apply to you or to your conditions. Don't be deceived. If you trust in emptiness, that is, in a false hope, if you trust in a false religion, then emptiness will be your reward. Nothing will come of it. Nothing can come of it. So many people are being deceived today by Satan as far as where they can find fulfillment in life. He sought to deceive Jesus. Jesus came to redeem this world back to God. It was God's originally because he created it, but God gave it to man. And man in turn forfeited it over to Satan. So that this world belongs to Satan at the present time. The purpose of Jesus was to redeem the world back to God. That's why he came. And Satan, knowing this, took Jesus up into a high mountain and showed to him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said, "All of these will I give to you if you will bow down and worship me, for they are mine, and I can give them to whoever I wish." What Satan is saying is, "I know why you've come, that you might get the world back for God. And I know the price, the cross. But I'll tell you what, you don't have to come to the cross to receive fulfillment. If you do it my way, you can have immediate fulfillment and you can escape the cross. Just bow down and worship me, and I'll give it all to you now. God's path of the cross is not necessary." And he is saying the same thing to people today. God's path of the cross is not necessary. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Satan says, "Oh, no, that's not necessary." He said, "If you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you will lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. What would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now Satan is saying, no, that's not quite right. You can have immediate fulfillment. Joy, happiness, it's right here. Don't take the path of the cross, self-denial. And he's always saying, here's immediate fulfillment. It isn't in denying self. It isn't in the cross, but it's by following me, I can lead you immediately into the fulfillment. But they are lies. And he causes people to trust in emptiness, in vanities, in lying vanities. And emptiness is the result. And when you have gone into that experience, suddenly you realize the emptiness of the whole thing. He says, hey, it lies in the glory of sports. In the cheers and the shout of the crowd, therein is fulfillment. I followed that life for a while. Heard the cries and the shouts of the crowd. But that was some of the emptiest time of my life. When you get home, away from the crowd, when you be in the loneliness of your own bed, lying there upon the pillow, especially those nights when I didn't get that hit that was needed. Whenever we would lose, I would not sleep all night long. I would relive every pitch. I would try to adjust my swing or whatever. I would relive every pass that I threw, every run that I made, especially after my injury and twisted my knee and tore all the ligaments and cartilage. And that night I couldn't sleep for pain. My knee was swollen up like a balloon. Every time I would move, it was excruciatingly painful. Those that trust in vanity, vanity is their reward. Emptiness, the reward of it. It shall be accomplished before his time. His branch shall not be green. That is, you will die before your appointed time. You get cut off. Your branch will be dry. He shall shake off his unripe grape as the vine. And he's referring here to Job's children being cut off. His fruit being cut off. And they shall cast off his flower as the olive. And so a reference to the fact that Job's children were all of them killed. For the congregation of the hypocrites shall be desolate. And fire shall consume the tents of bribery. So he is accusing Job of being a hypocrite, accusing Job of receiving bribery. These things have come upon you because of your sin. They conceive mischief and they bring forth emptiness, and their belly prepareth deceit. I can understand why Job answered and said, I have heard many such things, and miserable comforters are you all. I mean, that's a miserable way to try and comfort a guy. You only place more misery upon him. I might say that in an earlier reference to the, you know, everybody should be healed, if you just had enough faith, or if you just, you know, were living right, you wouldn't have any physical problems. I have had too many people come to me who have had deaths in the family, and people who have been twisted in these weird heresies come to them and say, your child died because you did not make the positive confession and you let them go. You didn't hold on in faith, you know. And they make the people feel guilty because their child died. I can't think of any more miserable way to try and comfort someone who has suffered a loss. I think that that is not only unscriptural, but totally insensitive and cruel. And I have had people come up fearing that they were responsible, they were guilty because their husband died. Someone told them if they had just held on in faith, their husband would still be alive, you know. And it is cruel. It's inhumane to lay some kind of a trip upon a person, because there are, when a person dies, there are always those things that go through our minds, how we may have been able to avoid it if we had just done this or done that or said this or said that, maybe. If we had just said, don't go out, and we had insisted that they stay home, maybe they would not have been hit by the car. There's always that trying to go back and relive it and change it, you know, change the history. When death comes, I'd always like to somehow, you know, go back and rewrite the story. And there is always that sort of sense of guilt. Had I done this, or maybe if I had only said that, or, you know, maybe I could have averted it, had this or whatever. And there's always that kind of a feeling. And for someone to come along and say, it's your fault. You didn't hold on in faith. You let them go. You let them down when they read. Oh, man, that's miserable. And that's pretty much what they were doing at Job. It's your fault that your kids are all dead. You're a hypocrite, man. You receive bribery and something sinful in your life, and you're hiding it and trying to keep it from others, but God's going to expose it. Your children die because of you. He said, miserable comforters are you all. Shall empty words have no end? Can't you guys learn to shut up? What made you so bold as to answer? Look, man, I could speak as you are speaking if you were in my shoes and I were in yours. If things were reversed, if you were going through the problems, I could come and I could make the same accusations to you that you're making to me. However, I wouldn't. I would seek to strengthen you with my mouth. I would seek to speak words of true comfort. And the moving of my lips would assuage your grief. I would seek to say the words that would bring strength and help and comfort. And though I speak, my grief is not assuaged. And even if I don't speak, what am I eased? I mean, if I speak, you jump on me, and if I don't speak, you'll jump on me. You're no help to me. But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company, that is, my children. And he is speaking now of God. God has made me weary. He's taken from me all of my children. And God has filled me with wrinkles. That is, he has caused me to age through this whole experience. These wrinkles, which are a witness against me, and my leanness. He had no doubt lost a lot of weight because of this sickness, just so miserable. And he was just sort of pining away, dying. And my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. I mean, I can look at my body. I'm becoming old, wrinkled. My leanness testifies a witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath. Who hates me? He gnashes upon me with his teeth, and like an enemy, he sharpens his eyes upon me. And they have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me, and God has delivered me to the ungodly and turn me over into the hands of the wicked. This is an interesting little section here, because you see in this that Job becomes an interesting type of Christ in these things. These very things are spoken in the Psalms of things that should happen to the Messiah. Gaped upon me with their mouths. Jeremiah speaks about smiting me on the cheek reproachfully. Speaks about gathering themselves against the Lord, against his anointed, and that God would turn his son over into the hands of the ungodly, into the hands of the wicked. And so these things that Job said were done to him by God were actually allowed by God to happen to his own son. Which should bring up an interesting point. If these things that were transpiring in Job's life were a sign of wickedness and sin, then how is it that God allowed his own son to go through similar experiences? Job said, I was at ease, but he hath broken me in two. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. And he has set me up as his target. And all of the archers are shooting at me. I'm their target. His archers encircle me. And they have shot through my kidneys. They actually just cleave them asunder. And they do not spare. Poured out my gall upon the ground. I'm wiped out. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. I have sewed sackcloth upon my sin. Now, when Job got these boils, he put on this sackcloth and he sat in these ashes. But with these running sores, the boils, and, you know, the constant running, you can imagine how that the sackcloth, as it dried, just became almost like a part of his skin. I mean, a horrible, smelly, ugly mess. This guy, you think you have it bad. Man, Job really went through it. And so this sackcloth is attached like my skin. He probably couldn't remove it without just pulling everything open, you know.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the Bible in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck continues with Job's second response to Eliphaz. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Job. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing comments.
May the Lord bless you. May His hand be upon you, strengthening, guiding, keeping, as you walk in His love and as you experience His Spirit working in and through your life this week. May God use you, make you His witness, and prosper you in your ways. In Jesus' name.
I'd like to invite you to listen and watch this year's Senior Pastors Conference on DVD, now available to the public. Join guest speakers like Pastor Chuck Smith.
The Bible is the final authority for our faith and our practice, and not part of it, but the whole of it.
Pastor Brian Broderson.
And as we look at all of this today, we realize, as good as our arguments might be, we better have something beyond that.
Pastor Damian Kyle.
But every Christian is going to need the fullness of what is ours in Christ to be able to stand and be a witness for the Lord.
And Pastor Greg Laurie.
Ultimately, in heaven, we will look back and say all things indeed did work together for good.
May each of us experience that special touch from the Lord, and may He give us ears to hear. To order your copy on DVD with a bonus MP3, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.